The book of Zechariah, chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 6. We've gone over verse 6 a little bit. But it's just one of those verses that seems to be a central theme. Not only is it a central theme to the book of Zechariah, but it is a central theme to the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. The verse of Scripture shares this, particularly the last part. Now, we do remember that Zerubbabel is a governor. And the Lord says here, and he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying. Now, this came as a response to the building of that temple, that physical temple. But this is truly God's work in building his spiritual temple, the church. It is not by might. It's not by seeing just as I have 29 times. It is not by might, nor by power. Not by our might and not by our power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that word Lord is mentioned twice in that verse, and Lord of hosts is the final. Now, this theme is carried throughout the Old Testament. We read with Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. And those two verses of Scripture fit together so clearly, so perfectly. It's salvation of the Lord. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's where our salvation comes from. That's where our sanctification comes from. That's where our redemption comes from. That's where every blessing. It is from God above. Every good gift and every spiritual gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variableness of turning. So it is He sending them down to us, and He is pleased to honor the gospel. That's one of the glorious truths of God's Word, is He is pleased to honor the gospel of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and pleased to honor the preaching of His blood and righteousness. Now, we may not see in every service someone is saved, but God's people are cared for in the preaching of the gospel. They are fed in the preaching of the gospel. They are made better for this life. Now, He never has changed our flesh, but our lives, we look at things differently under the preaching of the gospel. We look at affliction better under the preaching of the gospel. We look at trials better in the preaching of the gospel. And so we find that the Lord uses that so clearly in our lives, in our saved lives. He uses the gospel. And as it's brought out here, it's not by power and it's not by might. It's not by our prayer life. It's because of His grace. Then we also find, and turn with me, keep your finger here because we're going to come back, but turn with me back to this. In chapter 14, you remember the circumstances coming out of Egypt. There, it's interesting, when they left Egypt, not a dog barked. God shut every mouth of every dog. They left, and they left in a hurry, and they left to get out, and before they get completely on their journey, the Lord brings it to Pharaoh's mind, what did I do? What did I do? I just let all the workforce leave. So the Lord moved on him to go after them. And it tells us here in the book of Exodus, as the children of Israel appear to be boxed in, they appear to be, they're going to fall at the hand of the Egyptians. And yet the Lord never lets his people fall to the hand of the Egyptians. Never. It's always in His purpose for their glory, for their good, and for the glory of God and for the glory of the church. So here in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, we find that Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Now this, just like Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Folks, stand, get in a hurry here. Well, let's just read it. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That host is coming. You'll never be bothered with them again. So the Lord's satisfaction at the cross took care of all of the issue that we have with sin. He paid for it completely. God's people will never have to be brought up before that again. Never have to answer for that again. Now we deal with it in our life, and eventually this life is going to be given over to death. But in that, when He comes, we'll be given a new body that we don't have to deal with this. But just that common theme throughout the Scriptures, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, another passage in Psalm 3. Turn with me to Psalm 3. As we find this is just continuously going on throughout the Scriptures, that God is encouraging His people by God. He doesn't encourage us by ourselves. He encourages us by God. God encourages His people. And He encourages the gospel. And the gospel is truly boiled down to this, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. All good blessings come from God. Here in the Psalm 3, and there in verse 8, the Scriptures say this, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. What a wonderful thing. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Salvation is given by the Lord. Not by power, not by my might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So all the Old Testament prophets, all the Old Testament preachers, all the Old Testament, they declared the same thing that Zechariah was told to declare, the same thing that is true today. The gospel is finished in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the author and finisher. Not by our power and not by our might. And we're not going to squiggle out any more of God's blessing by our goodness, because there's not one good bit about us. It's because of His grace. All right, over in the book of Jeremiah, there's another verse I'd like to read. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah is dealing the same thing with all those that are going to read him. Much is said in the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah, throughout the Scriptures, it's just brought out, but this theme that Zechariah was called on to bring to our attention. Just remember, building this temple, physical temple, it's of the Lord. And building the spiritual temple, it's of the Lord. He furnishes the blocks, He furnishes the mortar, He furnishes the power, He furnishes the deliverance, He hews it out of a quarry. He's in charge of it all. I'm just reminded of what went on when those blocks, great blocks of stone were brought in for the temple. Not one hammer and not one saw was heard on that site. It's not by power. It's not by might. They're going to fit because God ordained them that way. And it is true about the church. You know, people, I can just hear the saints at Jerusalem says, that guy Saul is not going to fit. He's not going to fit the plan. He's not going to fit the building. He's not going to fit. And yet God pared him down in salvation, and he fit perfectly. All right. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 23. Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 23. Truly in vain they should hope for from anywhere else but God. Salvation can't be hoped for anywhere else. It's not going to be on an elevated place like this. That it's just not necessarily, that God's not up there necessarily. It's not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Remember that woman at the well? She said, our father said in this mountain we're to worship, and you say in Jerusalem you're to worship. Well, she's just sharing with us what religion does in this mountain. And Jeremiah is led of the Holy Spirit to leave us this truth. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for in the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Oh my goodness, how people hope for salvation in the wrongest places. Forgive me for my English. The worst of places. They hope for salvation. And yet we find here, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. He just cuts to the chase. Here it is. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of God. It's not by power, it's not by our strength, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord. And then Lamentations, of all places, to find a wonderful passage of Scripture is in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter 3. In all the trouble that is written about by Jeremiah in this book of Lamentations, it is lamentable how he felt towards Israel. It was a sad state of affairs. But right in the whole thing, the crux of the matter is this. Verse 26, chapter 3, verse 26. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What are you going to tell your kids? It is good. Quietly wait. What are we going to tell our parents? What are we going to tell our grandchildren? It's of the Lord. You're not going to make it grow any quicker. Trust the Lord. Don't move a muscle. Well, it is good for a man that he should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Not by power and not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It is the Spirit that gives us the new birth. We can't get there on our own. Spirit, by taking the truth of the gospel, the good news of salvation's complete and glorious salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord. Complete. His blood and righteousness. So, word after word after word. And then, finally, turn with me to the little book that's hard to find called Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm more and more sold on these. It's so easy to punch in. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Habakkuk is led by the Spirit to put down these words that the Apostle Paul quotes three times in his words. The Holy Spirit moved upon Habakkuk to write what the Apostle Paul is going to write three times in the New Testament. And it says right here, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just..." The justified ones, those who are justified in Christ, those who are just, shall live by His faith. The just shall live by His faith. And we find this brought out in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. No simpler. That's as far down as we can cut it. The just shall live by His faith. Or, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Or, salvation is of the Lord. Or, trust in the Lord for all your salvation. It's just everywhere in the Scripture. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God works a work of grace, and He's the only one that can work that work of grace. I had a note in my Bible. I didn't realize it was there, but sometimes it's worth reading. It says, the Lord never made midwives. We're not midwives. The Holy Spirit is the one that bears the children. So, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Present the gospel by all means and every means. Present the gospel. Declare the gospel that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. All right, as we look at those verses there, in the book of Zechariah, going back to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, we find some astonishing things happen later in that same chapter that prove by power and not by might. Now, we have in Zechariah chapter 4 as Zechariah is permitted to see something. I had a discussion today with a fellow, and he was talking about the book of Revelation. I said, you've got to look at the book of Revelation through spiritual eyes. Well, if you're not saved, you can't do that. You want to look at it through physical eyes. And I said, I used to see in a gray roll on the wall, when the preacher was preaching the book of Revelation, and there was a lamb as had it been slain with seven horns and seven eyes. And it was a monstrosity. How could God ever be represented by that? Well, the book of Revelation is just telling us he has all power. Seven horns. Perfect power. And perfect omniscience. He has seven eyes. Perfect omniscience. He knows what's going on the world around. He knows what's going on with us right here tonight. And he knows what's going on with the other 7.5 billion people that are in the world. And he knows all about those that have already died. And he knows all about those that are going to be born. I mean, that's seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. So we look in the Zechariah chapter 4, and we want to read there verses 11 and 12. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Now he is seeing more than he knows he's seeing. He's seeing the fulfillment of verse 6. He's seeing that all of this oil is coming out of these olive trees and going into a representation of the church called the candlestick. We get over to the book of Revelation chapters 1 and 2 and we find out that that candlestick, those seven lamps, are the seven churches of Asia. This is representing the church. And where does the church get its light? Where does it get its sustenance? Where does it get its ability to be active? Not by someone coming along and pouring oil in us like they did that lamp in the tabernacle. It's by the Holy Spirit pouring upon us the holy oil of unction. It's God working in us both to do and to will of His good pleasure. It's God's oil upon us. And it comes from a place we don't even recognize. No man can. Now, God uses the preached word, but we have no ability to make it effective. We can't make it effective. But when God does it, it is effective. And it drains right into all those cups. Zechariah saw more than he saw. He's asking, what is this? But as he describes it, he sees it as a glorious way that God facilitates the growth of His church, the feeding of His church, the oil of the Holy Spirit to His church. And they have nothing in this world in the ability to produce it. He says, I'll take care of it. I'll put the oil there. Now over in that tabernacle, a priest came along on a daily basis with that very special oil and poured it in there and poured it in there and poured it in there. Was it morning to night? It might have been. But here, this never has to be tended by anybody. It's the Lord. So it says there, and then in verse 13, and he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord, I don't understand what this be. But in his description, he shares with us more than he ever said. All you have to do is see this picture of bringing the oil in from olive trees that stand by the side and realize this is supernatural. This is not human. This is not a human device. Fulfilling verse 6. Not by power and not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this is the way the church is fed. This is the way the church is glorified. This is the way the church is honored. This is how salvation comes. Every good gift and every spiritual gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow or variableness of turning, comes down. Everyone comes down. We don't raise it. I've said several times when it comes to giving, I'm sure thankful the Lord drops it instead of us having to raise it. And that's what He does. He lowers the blessings. We can't raise it. We just can't get there from here. So, what a glorious statement that Zechariah was left to write for us, even though he didn't comprehend it, and we don't comprehend it like we should. But he did see something there that is so glorious, and that is God took care of the oil for the lamps. And that lampstand represents the church of the living God. He answered me, I don't know completely. And again, I thank the Lord. Get upset, I don't understand this. Well, you fool. No, he doesn't say that. You know, every time he mentions that in the New Testament, I have heard preachers just run those disciples down because they didn't understand what God was teaching them. You know what God is teaching them? You'll never understand it unless I reveal it to you. That's what he's teaching them. You just will not see this. I can bring it out and bring it out and bring it out and bring it out, but until I reveal it to you, you'll never see it. So he's just teaching them, it's of me. It's top down. Every spiritual blessing comes from God. I'm the one that brings the oil. I'm the one that brings the blessing. Wait on me. If you don't understand it now, wait. If God be pleased, He'll reveal it. If God is not pleased, wait. And, you know, I'm thankful that God reveals much to some that is able to come along and share it with us. Some of the preachers that come our way reveal the great truths of God, and my mind just goes, oh my goodness. It's almost like reading Hawker. Why didn't I see that? Well, it wasn't time. But when we see it, we rejoice in the truth of it. We're in the glory of it. We're in the oil coming down from God to us. The answer still leaves us wanting, though. Did you notice that? Zechariah said, I don't know what this is. And then he answered and said, now he tells us the truth of the matter. But still, I am wanting when it comes to the understanding of the very the truth of the matter. What's it say in verse 14? Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Here's the answer. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, we could go over to the book of Luke, and there is an archangel. Oh, just turn with me. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Verse 11. Now, Gabriel, the archangel, appeared unto Zacharias and Mary. Depart. Now, notice what it says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Appeared unto me an angel of the Lord standing on the right. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And dropped down to verse 19. And the angel answering and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you, unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Now, I just have difficulty looking at Gabriel as anything else than the Son of God. His name signifies that. His being signifies that. Now, if it isn't, he's a very good representation. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but he stands. What does it say there in verse 19? Stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And verse 26 of the same chapter, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Gabriel, once again, is the ambassador. Who's the true ambassador of God? None other than His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true ambassador. We are sub-ambassadors. We're under. He is the shepherd. There's under-shepherds. All right. As we look at this, we find that this candlestick is mentioned over in the book of Revelation. And it tells us that the Lord is walking among the candlesticks, and there's seven stars. Now, when I grew up, those seven stars, it's called the angels of the church. And they're talking about some guardian angel over all the churches of the Lord. Well, you can't read it that way. These seven stars are the pastors of those churches. God has put those pastors in place. And those seven churches had pastors that were to preach the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus to the people. And when they had a problem, you know what the preacher had done? He hadn't been preaching the free and sovereign grace of Jesus Christ the Lord. And he said, "You need to get back there." That was the warning. "And if you don't, I will nab your candlestick. I'll snuff out." And I think that's what happened in Ephesus, because there's no longer a church in Ephesus. The Lord does that very thing often. Paul was used to warn the churches during his time, don't fall for the dummy stuff. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't fall for the false. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't go to margarine when you can have real butter. Don't take some spirit when you can have the spirit. Don't take some oil when you can have the oil. And he goes through that several times. Well, what I see here in the book of Zechariah, and you read commentaries and everybody has an idea about it. Some of them said these two anointed ones, one is Zerubbabel, who is the governor, and the other is Joshua, the high priest. Well, I cannot find a human being that can fill these spots. They shouldn't be substituted in there. No human being. Human beings have just been ushered out of the process when Zechariah said, "Now, those pipes are coming out of those trees and running right down into the church." Now, I'm going to say Zerubbabel on this side and Joshua the high priest on that side, I have just gone against the total gospel. When I put the power to do that in the hands of some man, I might as well go to popery. That can't be. It can't be some prophets. It can't be Moses. It can't be Joshua. It can't be people. It can't be humanity. No human can do what is happening here. So I have to go back to the scriptures, and I read that there is two that do what we read here doing. And one of them is Jesus Christ the Lord. And in the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ is honored, but the Holy Spirit makes it effectual. We preach the gospel, but there's only one that can make it effectual. So here, I looked at that and I said, this has got to be Jesus Christ in the preaching of the gospel. He is honored and glorified, and God the Father is honored. God the Son is honored. God the Holy Spirit is honored. And when the Holy Spirit honors the gospel, He brings about growth in the church and regeneration into the lost sheep. So it's got to be above us. They might be types, and they might be pictures, and they might be shadows, but the reality is God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and honors the Father in all that work, in all that ministry. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. But let's turn with me, if you John chapter 6, verse 45. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Now notice the very first phrase of this verse. It is written in the prophets. Now if that's written there, we should be able to go to the prophets and find something about this. So that means that this was the message in the prophets. It's the message in the Old Testament. It's the message that we read in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Not by our power and not by our might. Now I add the word our there. I'm just simplifying it. But by my spirit saith the Lord. So here in the book of John chapter 6, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be all taught of God. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about his people. They shall all be taught of God. Now the word might have gone out, but the teaching is out of our hands. The seed has been sown, and the Lord is gracious to be the sower. See, one plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Here it says, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, notice the results, cometh unto me. If God teaches us, we come to Christ. God's never going to fail there. If you've been taught of God, then you're going to be brought to Christ. It's going to be Him doing it. And the preaching of the Word of God, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit honors it by the growth in saved people and the new birth in His lost sheep. And we can't get there from here. When we learn we can't get there from here, we'll honor His Word and preach the gospel, and we'll let Him be the oiler. Pour in the oil. Pour in all that goodness. We need it every day. We need that oil. It's food. It's interesting. That tells us, and I've got to find that. Oh, John 6:53. We're right there. Turn to John 6:53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. And boy, that has been taken out of context. That has been broken out, and it's been looked at, reviewed from a very literal standpoint. And yet the Lord's not talking literal here. He's talking spiritual. The preaching of Christ's broken body for our redemption is called our spiritual flesh. Boy, when Christ is preached, did not our salivary glands burst forth with all that moisture as we chewed on the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't we delight in chewing on our Savior, ruminate on Him? And then, the preaching of His shed blood is our spiritual drink. It's spiritual food and spiritual drink to hear Christ preached. And that's what He's talking about. But it's Him being preached. And so Zechariah, it's a mystery. Great. The word mystery is not used in the Old Testament. I searched and searched and couldn't find it. But it is brought out in the New Testament a number of times. Great is the mystery of godliness. God seen in the flesh. And Paul said, behold, I declare unto you a mystery. As he talked about the husband and his wife there, he says, I'm telling you about Christ and His church. So there's mysteries. And that word mystery means to keep your mouth closed. You're not talking about it. And yet the Holy Spirit reveals it to us, and then we say, oh my goodness, I can ruminate on this for a long, long time. Well, Zechariah chapter 4, it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Zechariah, even though he didn't understand, he says, I do see some pipes coming from those two trees, and they're oiling these lamps, and God be praised, because it's way above us. And the effects and the benefits and the length of time it lasts is a lot longer than we could produce. All right.